Damas y caballeros, welcome back to Freeform Radio on the Freeform Network. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. But I am one of your hosts of many here. My name is Daniel. My other host.
I'm here ready to rock and roll and ready to fight for Cobra. La, 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 la.
Go, Joe. And right next to him is the other co-host here, Noel.
What's going on, everybody?
Finally together again, all three of us, to record this awesome podcast that has been in popular demand and has been suggested and wanted by the fans out there. And we're finally putting it together. Maybe a little late, but hey, man, better late than never, huh?
Always, man. It's fashionably late, I think, is the word we should use.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So, Mr. Andy, why don't you kick it off? Let the people know what's to expect it and the first one of the day.
So, as you know, we've been on the air for a long time. So this is a very special episode of Freeform Radio, where the episode we've been hyping up for the last couple weeks, it's our feedback, questions, and suggestions episode. All the emails we received over the years. That's correct. Years.
Plural.
The longest running podcast on that group we were part of. I can't even think of the name right now. The Coalition of the Willing. We've compiled everything we received on that famous ffnquestions@gmail.com. The one we've been pushing. We compiled all those questions, and here we are. We're going to give you all the feedback, all the hate, the partnerships, everything we received in the last... And all the emails we received since this show started, and we're gonna compile them all into this episode. You're gonna hear our thoughts, our comments, suggestion, everything we have to say to the haters, the people who love us, and people who have suggestions. Now we're gonna give you our thoughts on your questions.
Right. And a little caveat, Andy. When we started preparing for this, it was to the end of January. So any emails that we've gotten since then, they will not be included in this. They'll probably be on some follow up. But we're hoping to get them in more of a timely manner, our responses.
You have hectic lives, people. So let's get the show going, man. So back in one of the early episodes, I believe we didn't talk about this one, but we did get an email from the gentleman name is Sergio Lopez, but I believe everybody here knows him. And he gave us a topic suggestion. And it's basically he wants to know, this was sent in May of 23 of 2015. If you want to know the details, it was 7 in the morning, so Sergio was up way early. He wanted us to do a show about the pros and cons on being single, being engaged, being married. And he thanks us for his first show. He loved it, and he's listened to it twice. And he's telling us to keep up the good work, Sergio. Oh, and it was sent by on his iPhone. I wonder if he still has the same iPhone.
Probably.
So, your thoughts, guys? I mean...
First thing, 7:16 a.m. I like that, you know, our podcast is the first thing you're thinking about in the morning. It's awesome.
Right, especially on a Saturday. He was... it's in May, so he was probably running at the time. So, maybe he was going for a morning jog. Listening to the podcast and then typing this up while he's running.
He was training for his marathon. So let's dig deep into it. Everybody on the show here is either single or married and have been engaged. What do you guys think about it? Is being married awesome? Being engaged is better? Or being single is the best?
Well, I think at the time of the email, it was kind of a unique time in our lives. That Noel was single, Andy was engaged, I believe, at the time, and then I was married. So I thought this would be a great topic. I remember when we first got it, it was something that I'm like, yeah, this would be a great podcast, but we just never had the time to really dive into it. But just speaking for myself, being single was cool. I mean, it was great hanging out with my friends after school and all that good stuff. The engagement was good as well, but a little stressful because you're leading up to getting married. And let's be honest, you know, you're trying to get the wedding going, trying to make both sides of the family happy. So it even though it's a happy time, it is hectic and a little crazy. And being married could also be somewhat like that, but I think it's for the most part a lot more happy times than it is stressful times. So I myself, I probably enjoyed the being married part of the three the most.
Wow. Yeah, I think Danny's just saying that because this is being recorded and it's going to be on the internet right. forever.
Yeah, I know. And Alana listens to the podcast too.
It's like anything you say can and will be held against you in the court of your house.
Right.
So what about you, Noel? You like the single life or you love being independent and doing what the fuck you want? You don't want to deal with the stress of being in a relationship or married or whatever fits your idea of a relationship?
Yeah, I'm probably one of the people that think the most differently about this whole situation. I used to be a hopeless romantic, and I thought, man, I can't wait till one day I tie the knot, get some amazing woman in my life, and just, you know, live out our lives happily ever after. And that would be cool, I guess. But single life is amazing. from what I see, I have three older brothers. Daniel is one of them right here. And of course, Andy, we're brothers, but not by blood, but either way, we're still brothers.
That's right.
So but all my other brothers, my oldest Efren and then the other one, Saul, everybody that's married that I've seen, they have a lot of good things, but a lot of responsibilities that go with those good things. And while I'm not one to shy away from responsibility, I do like to have the freedom that I have. I'm not exactly eager to give that up. I like being able to go where I want to go, do what I want to do, watch what I want to watch, say what I want to say, because I don't want to be censored, you know, and sometimes a little bit of that happens.
Right, right.
Here and there.
Censored. So. Wow, man. That's an interesting take there, Noel.
Well, I think that's just being honest, because, I mean, talking amongst friends is different from talking with your significant other.
Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, obviously with marriage and a family comes a lot of great things too. I've had the pleasure to have nieces and nephews and nephews. And it's been a pleasure to be their uncle. So I know that if it's rewarding to be their uncle, I can only imagine how the reward is to be a parent. And so maybe that'll happen for me one day, but for now I'm enjoying the single life and whatever life brings.
Good. Yeah, it's good. I guess I would have to say when you're younger, being single is awesome. I had my fun. Being engaged, it's very stressful, so I don't like that in general. And then being married, you know, Valentine's Day was just a couple weeks ago, and I put a post about my beautiful wife about, you know, she makes me very happy, and she makes me a better man, but she does challenge me, and I think that's like a blessing and a curse, because she challenges me to be a better man, but sometimes you just want to revert to being how you were, like when you're single. And like you talk about being uncensored, or you don't want to be censored. And my wife has done a great job. That's why I love her so much, to challenge me when I need to be challenged, and to bettering myself, bettering our marriage and our relationship. And because, you know, I'm from the streets and I'm rough around the edges, and she's civilized me immensely. And so I guess being married is something I've always looked forward to. And I guess to say, and I was the last one of all our friends that we went to high school with that got married. And I think because I waited so long, I have a better understanding of, I guess, relationships, because it teaches you to be more patient to your partner. And if I was younger and the way my wife is now, I'm pretty sure we would have had a lot of more struggles than we're doing than what we have right now.
Cool, man. Cool. No, good to hear, man. Good to hear that everybody's in a happy place and moving forward. So jumping on to the next question here, it was sent not as far back as the May one, but just about August 1st, 2015. And it's by David Lopez. Sent in this email and it goes, guys, I know this is an episode behind, but in retrospect, no calls after nine was due to households only having one phone line and usually located in a centralized room. So a phone call after nine would wake up other members of the house, usually someone's mean old man. He sends thanks. So I think what David's referring to is an episode way back, man. Episode number
Early episode.
six, right? Yeah, it's episode number six. I went back into the archive and found it. Episode number six, where we were talking about what is the least or the latest you can call somebody. And I guess we have to throw in texting now because that is a big part. You know, most people don't call, they just text. But what is the latest that you can call or text somebody? And what's the earliest as well, I think was part of the conversation. So I don't know how much you guys remember, but I still hold firm. I'm with David here, you know, nothing after nine, and to me, nothing before nine. I mean, it's got to be an emergency. Somebody's dying, or I just won the lotto. Otherwise, don't call me.
What about if it's like a text saying, man, I just dropped a big old deuce. You want a picture of this?
I don't think that warrants in the list that I just gave you, but
He's awesome, though.
these guys, I don't recall what you guys or what your feeling were. Do you hold to a strict 9 o'clock time?
I mean, I get it when I was a kid. Let's say I was in a call, like a girl's house or a friend's house. I get it. It wouldn't be after nine because I don't, it would be in their house. It would ring it would ring, and somebody had to pick it up, usually their parents. And so I wouldn't want to anger them. So I get that when I was growing up. But at this point, it's like, man, how old are you? You're going to be going to sleep at nine. Unless you're working. It's during the week. All right. I guess there's a little flexibility there. But on the weekend, man, you got to be old if you're going to sleep at nine, dude. You can't take a text at 10 p.m. or 9:02 p.m.
I think you've got to dive deeper into our culture and our heritage of what we grew up in. When Noel, I don't know, maybe you're way younger than us, but when we were growing up, the biggest form of communication was the phone, and calling at nine back when I was growing up, because like the Dave said, there's a centralized phone, which is correct. But my parents did have a phone in their bedroom. I don't know if your parents had that or not, Danny.
I don't remember. I think we only had one in the living room and then one in the kitchen. So I
Yeah.
think those were the only two that we typically had. Even back in our city days when we used to live in the city, I think it was always in the either in the kitchen for sure. And I think if we were
Yeah, we
you
had
know
the
lucky enough to have one in the living room.
Cordless in the living room and the
Ooh,
corded one in
fancy.
the kitchen. Yeah, I remember. I was really excited about that.
Was your dad walking in the backyard with that big phone on his hip or something? My dad did that for a while to see how far that thing would work.
Right, how far that wireless would work.
But generally speaking, now I do recall the 9 o'clock social norms did dictate that, but today it's a fucking free-for-all, dude. I mean, we got so many messaging apps. The texting is like, even texting's old. There's so much other ways to communicate than besides texting. So to me, I guess if I'm awake, cool. If not, you'll get it the next day. And I actually was having a conversation this morning with my wife. She wanted to contact a parent regarding one of the issues with her student, and we were up like at six, and she goes, "What time should I call?" And I'm like, "Man, that's a great question." And they are Hispanic, so I'm thinking they should be awake. So I would call like 7:30, and I don't know. To me, that seemed appropriate. But when I was driving to work, man, I don't know. It might be too early.
Yeah, I mean it's hard to know because if they work an 8 to 5 shift or something like that, then 7:30 is probably the perfect time before they start work. But it's hard to know if you don't know their work schedule really.
Right.
If there are ones that are like a homemaker and they don't have like a regular 9 to 5 outside of the house job than I guess any time, as long as, you know, they're not ultra, like, super busy with whatever they're handling at home. That's a good one, though. From episode 6. All right. Well, we got the next email, email number 3. Moving on here. This was from Monday, July 4, 2016. Graciela Albavera. Although, at the time of this recording, I believe she is an Aguirre. Is that correct, Andy?
That's correct. That's my wife.
There we go. So,
just throwing that out there. I recuse myself.
So getting to the email. Dear Freeform Network hosts, I have recently started listening to your podcast episodes and wanted to let you know to keep up the good work. Also, I would like to hear your opinions and thoughts on the following topics and hope you'll include them in your future episode. Number one, motor vehicle drivers who refuse to get an I-pass. Why would they not want to pay? Why would they not want to pass or pay tolls faster and easier? And then question number two, gasoline prices around town and neighboring towns. Is it cost effective to drive 7 to 10 minutes out of your way to a gas station, which has gasoline priced only a few cents cheaper? So like she gives an example, for example, 18 gallons times 4 cents cheaper would only give you 72 cents in savings. She says, thanks for your time and have a great week.
And I think I did have a great week that week, by the way.
Are you sure, Danny?
I recall it, but I mean, it was a while ago.
4th of July weekend. Yeah. Yeah. That was a good week.
I think I was next to her when she was typing this email, like on her phone or something. Because it's, why would 4th of July have 5:50?
Yeah. Yeah, it was 5:49. But yeah, no. Well, so getting to the question for the first one, what do you guys think? Why wouldn't anybody want to get or not want to get the I-Pass when it makes it a lot easier to get through the tolls?
I think when it originally came out, I could see why people were a little more hesitant. But now in the digital age where everything is digital, everything is online, to me, I have an I-Pass. And I love zooming by that I-Pass while everybody else is stopping for tolls. But I get the negatives towards it. You know, it's a way for the government to track you. And if the shit hits the fan, people know where you're at and can track your movements. So I get that part too. But hey, if I could save 50 cents and zoom by and save some time, I'm all good for I-Pass.
What about you, Andy?
Well, that's why I was saying, because we were dating at the time and she was, her mind was like boggled with this. Why don't you have an I-Pass? I'm like, and I went to my whole spiel like, hell nah, man. I don't need the government. No need to know where I'm going. And I'd rather just pay the extra 40 cents. It don't bother me. And she's being, she loves to be a saver. She's like, you're going to spend an extra 40 cents. I'm like, I'm cool with that. Don't worry. And to this day, she's just like, I just don't get this part of you. So going forward, this past Christmas, we got married about 2 years ago. She got me, for Christmas, she got me an I-Pass.
Sweet.
And I'm just like, oh yeah, thanks, baby. I love it. And then it's over there by our coffee maker. It's been sitting there since Christmas. It'll be a cold day in hell if I put that thing in my truck, man.
Damn. How about you, Noel? Do you got an I-Pass on your car?
Oh, you better believe it, man. There was a time where I had to use it every day. And it was perfect. It was perfect just zooming through. Because I don't keep a lot of change in my car. And I don't want to. You know, it's not something I want to plan for. And then make sure, oh, I got to collect it. And I'm in a rush, you know. If I'm in the expressway, it's an express. You know, it's not like, oh, let me take my time lane. This is an express lane, so I want to get right through and get on going. So I've had an I-Pass for a while. Now I get how some people are like, I don't want the government tracking me. But man, dude, in this day and age, there's bugs everywhere, bro. You don't even know how much you're getting tracked. You think you're saving yourself by not getting the I-Pass, but it's like your phone's bugged, your smart TV's bugged, your Facebook account's bugged. Half the shit that you got's bugged and you don't even know it. So it's like, all right. What are we really saving?
That's illegal, man. They could subpoena your I-Pass records. If you pass this toll in court, man, if you like, if you're plotting some evil scheme, man. And then plus, I put a piece of tape over my camera phone, man. They don't want to see what's going on in my bedroom.
Nah, man, there's always ways around it, dude. Homeland Security's got ways, bet you.
Man, I seen the Snowden movie, bunch of pervs.
All right, so the second part of this, what do you guys think about the gasoline prices? I know how I feel about it, but I'm really curious about you guys.
Me personally, I don't drive farther. I try to map out my day. Like if I need gas and I'm driving by the Sam's Club and I have a membership, I try to plan it out to where I'll stop by for gas. But otherwise, it's sort of rare, and watch it happen now, that I run low on gas and, you know, I'm just like, man, let me drive over here an extra couple of miles so I could get cheap gas. So usually I try to be kind of timeful on the filling up on my gas wherever it's the cheapest.
Right.
Again, that was the cause of these questions and topics, because I am the type of person, within reason, I'll drive like the 15 minutes or the couple miles if it's about 10 to 15 cents cheaper. And like, I had a Sam's Club, I have a Costco, like it's generally, you know, 10 to 15 cents cheaper, and I'll drive out there. Plus, if you have certain memberships, it you get rewards from it. It goes into your rewards and you get some money back, not a lot, but it adds up if you keep following, you know, if you're consistent with that. So to me, I'll fucking drive it, I don't care.
No, I hear that. I mean, it's not always a bad idea depending on how much you have to drive. Like Daniel was saying earlier, though, I was kind of in a similar boat. There was a time in a couple years back where I was working for this company where I was on the road all the time. I was constantly driving. This is when I needed the iPass. And there was a time where I would be driving so much, I'd have to fill up gas maybe twice in 1 week, because that's how many miles I was putting on. So right. I had this app that would help me out. It was Gas Junkie, I believe it's called.
Yeah, I know of it.
And so it would always tell me all the gas stations, all the prices. And so what I would do is I would go through and see, all right, well, I like BP, so I'm going to see specifically BP, which is the one that's going to give me the best price. And then so what I would do is I would just go map out my day, and on the way back from my work day, I would just go to that BP, and it would always usually coincide with my route home. Thankfully, now there's one really close by my house, so that's never really an issue. But I think if anybody listening has any issues with gas and whatnot, try that app out. I think it might save you some money and a little bit of a headache on the commute.
Right. It is a good app.
Yeah, definitely. It's a great app. And so let's go ahead. You mentioned you drove a lot. So let's drive to the next question we got here. And this one's a completely 180 subject. It's we did multiple episodes, you know, about diets and going vegan and so forth. We're health conscious here at Freeform Radio. So we got an email from Jess Miller, and she sent this. I found an email on May 27th of 2017. Interesting. She sent that at 3 in the morning. I guess she couldn't sleep because of her diet. But let's see what she says, everybody. Dear editor, I was searching the web for information on going vegan and saw your great post here. She plugs her website, freeformnetwork.podbean.com. I noticed you mentioned a link. She has a link about the article that we spoke about, the 11 biggest lies about vegan diets. In your post, I just wanted to give you a heads up. I recently wrote a blog post you might like. It's detailed, up-to-date, 7,000-word guide on 20 health benefits of going vegan.
Damn, trying to one-up us.
And this includes 6 delicious vegan recipes. Is there such a thing? But anyways, back to the email. If this is something you'd be interested in, here's the link to my blog, www.genreviews.com/vegan. $20, please. You got a free plug there for thousands and thousands of listeners, Jen. This is completely free, and if you like it, all I ask is that you link or share this article on your site. In return, I would love to share your posts with my newsletter subscribers and followers on social media. Either way, keep up the great work. Cheers, Jess. She's probably British because she used cheers.
Right, right.
So there you go. We're getting, trying to get proposals to other websites. I know vegan is not my thing, so I like a good ribeye. Danny, what do you think?
Just quickly, I actually went to the archives and found, I don't know which one she was referring to, but we had two episodes at around that time, episode 51 and episode 63. On 51 is the one that she's talking about where we were talking about vegan and nutrients. And 63, I was talking about how me and Alana were trying to go part-time vegetarians and trying to eat a lot more veggies. But yeah, my thoughts with vegan diets, if it works for you, great. I myself, I'm a meat eater. I like to eat, you know, ribeyes, like you said, and chicken and all that good stuff. But I am a veggie eater. I try to snack on veggies all the time. I snack them at work now to just keep the cravings away and not snack on potato chips and other junk food. So I'm down with vegetables. I can eat almost any of them. There's not really a vegetable that I don't really care for. So I understand where the diet come from, and I don't really mind it too much. I would say if anybody is probably a little more informed, it's Noelle.
Well, I like the email. If she is from the UK, I'm happy that we got some international listeners. I actually just went to the website, checked it out for really quickly. I'm going to give it a good read. I haven't, to be honest, but I will. I promise that. And what one thing I want to say is I have respect for vegans, at least the ones that are open-minded to somebody that's not vegan, you know, that don't feel like they're superior than others who aren't vegan. And for those that are in that boat, I want to say that a vegan diet generally has a lot of organic vegetables and fruits, things like that, which is very healthy. It's going to lower your inflammation, which will in turn lower your chance of cancer, lower weight gain, you know, things like that. So you'll have like weight loss, protect you from heart disease, things like that. So it is healthy to eat a lot of vegetables, to eat organic, to lead a healthy lifestyle. But me personally, there are some vitamins, some minerals that you're not going to get from a vegan diet and that some people have to supplement. And I'm one that I don't want to have to supplement those things when I can easily get it from sources that can come from like an animal, for example. I know there's a lot of ethical arguments, but I mean, ultimately to harvest vegetables and fruits, it's a process that unfortunately kills a lot of insects and small animals. So the ethical argument is already null and void going off of that. So to me, it's like, in order to live, unfortunately, we have to take the life of something that was living so that we can provide sustenance to ourselves. And all I can say is when I eat, I'm thankful for my meal, whether it be just all veggies or whether it have some animal product in there. And I think if you are going to eat meat, definitely resource where you're getting it from. That's a big, important thing. A lot of farmers out there can be a little bit on the negative side in terms of using hormones and certain types of feed for their animals. But if you do your research, you can find those that are grass-fed, those that are not caged, for example, and treated, you know, better and right, live out a better life. So do a little research if you can. And that's all I got to say about that one.
Right, right. Any quick comments, Andy?
Nah, man. Vegans like their vegetables. Go for it.
Right, right. I think I read somewhere that vegans need to use supplements like Ropex to get it going. But that's just something I read.
That's an interesting article there, Danny.
Right, right. But thank you,
I don't
Jesse.
Need Ropex, though.
Thanks, Jess Miller, for that email. Sounds like you're going to have one more reader. Andy, Noel's going to read some of your articles because I know it is interesting, that diet. And speaking of vegan, we got another follow-up email to that, but from another reader, subject line, potential partnership. Man, it sounds good already, man. Lily Greeny. Am I pronouncing that right? Greeny?
I think it's just Green.
Green? What's the E at the end then?
It's silent.
All silent? Oh, okay, my bad. This one came in July 30th, 2018. And it goes, hi there. First, I want to say great job on your post. She's referencing our episode 51. I can tell that you did spend a lot of effort on creating this content. Most of that thanks has to go to Noel because he is our expert in vegan diets here. I'm actually the main editor over at Balance Me Beautiful. And then she gives her website, balancemebeautiful.com. So your post was particularly interesting to me as we just recently released an epic blog post on all the healthy benefits of vegan lifestyle, which I think Noel kind of mentioned that it is a helpful diet, but you do have some supplements that may be needed for some extra vitamins. Back to her email, it says, when reading your article, I noticed you were linking to a post, and I guess this is the post. I didn't really check, but maybe it's the one that Noel referenced, medicalnewstoday.com, on the same topic as my post. Wow, that's interesting. Their post is also a great resource, though I would say mine is even more comprehensive and up to date. Man, these vegans, man, they're one-uppers, man. Even the Jesse Miller, man. We gave 11 facts, and she's just like, yeah, I had to one-up you, man. I did 20 facts.
Nah, man, she fucked up. There's no six delicious recipes.
Yeah, I think that's where she's kind of like exaggerating a little bit. Back to the article, to the email here. Let's see. Plus, I've done my own research thoroughly. Lots of trusted sources in there. Bottom line, I think a link to my article also make a great addition to your post. If you agree and are happy to add the link, I'd be glad to share your post on social media channels. So she gives us the article that she made mention. Let me know if you like the idea. Thanks, Lily, editor at Balance Me Beautiful. So what are the thoughts, guys? It looks like we got our niche here with the vegans. It sounds like we're going to have to do a follow-up to vegan diets in the near future because it looks like it's popping with the people.
You know, it'd be funny if we actually do a challenge where we like adopt this lifestyle for maybe like a month or see who can do it the longest and
that's
the winner gets a prize.
Yeah, that's not too bad, Noel. We got to pick, I think in the fall would benefit us, like maybe before November.
Ooh, that's a tough time, but yeah.
Yeah, and before November, that's what I'm saying, because the summer we're all going to be grilling stuff in our face with brats and beer.
Right, man.
And then so it has to be like in the September, October, I'm thinking. By October.
Yeah, it maybe we should put some money on it and see who could last the longest.
Yeah, well, no, for sure. We'll have to organize that out, but I do appreciate the question from Lily Green. So we'll definitely read that article. We'll address it in a future episode. Going on to the next emails from Daryl Atkins. Let's see. Your question. I like Freeform, but the cable company. Okay. Armstrong has put this great network on a more expensive package. All right. Most people in this area love this channel, but can't afford it. Please look into this. We live in Lawrence County, Ohio. 45669 is our area code. I asked Armstrong why they moved this network to the more expensive package, and I was told the network decides what package they want to be on. I know I speak for all folks on Armstrong Cable, so please help if you can. Wow. All right, Daryl. Well, I think you have us confused, buddy. We are
right. I think just something funny. He says that's his area code, but that's really his zip code. 45669, and also he leaves his phone number here. I don't know if he expected us to call him. I mean, yeah. This is way back in August 15 of 2018.
Go ahead, Noel.
No, I was just gonna say I wasn't gonna put his phone number out there because I don't want people to prank call this guy.
So when I first saw this email way back in the day, I instantly thought, man, someone's pirating our show and put it on a paywall or something. But obviously, he's talking about Freeform Network, which we have our lawyers working furiously to get this settled, because they're Freeform and we're Freeform Network. So there's a litigation maybe one day pending. So that's where we're at with that. And I was tempted we should call this guy and see, like, hey, man, what's your Freeform channel going on? Will you guys get it back on your normal package?
Now, I can tell his frustration, though. I actually do like a couple of shows. I don't know if you guys watch any other shows on the network there, but they got a couple. They got Shadowhunters, Beyond. They even got Cloak and Dagger, a Marvel show. So they got some cool stuff on there. I could right. see it.
Yeah, it is a pretty good channel. Every time I go to my mother-in-law's house, the kids always have it on, because they got a bunch of kids shows as well. So it must be a good network. I mean, I don't got cable, so I can't really speak too much on that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, final thoughts, Danny. You think we should call Armstrong Cable and go, hey, what the fuck?
Damn right, man. It's our duty to rock that booty, but all as well as back up this guy. He wants to get Freeform for cheap. We'll do it, man. We'll work on it.
Maybe we should set up a Patreon page and just go, hey, man, pay us and we'll give you the show for at a cheaper price. But he just needs to go to our website to hear till the show is. Noel, final thoughts?
I think I'll just send him like a link for like a torrent site. You can get it for free, buddy.
Right.
There you go. So let's go to our next question. Again, it came from one of our top fans here, Sergio Lopez. He sent it to us Wednesday, October 3rd and of 2018, so we're getting more recent here. He sends to us, hey, you guys ever heard of, I'm going to need some help here, guys, Ducatis or Abucas? Do you guys know what that is? Well, anyway, I can't say Abuca. I'm hope I'm saying that right.
It's Abuqua.
Abuqua. Sounds French. I think I made it in, he goes, I think it'll make a hell of an interesting segment to dive into. So I took a quick Wikipedia search on this, and I guess I don't want to say it's a religion, but it's they're saying like a secret society or a fraternity that started in Nigeria and it ended up in Haiti and even parts of Cuba, I guess. And the final line on this is Abuca has been described as an Afro-Cuban version of Freemasonry. So some secret society.
Yeah, like I think it akin to like a mixture of the mafia and a secret society. Because it seems like these guys are like really tough and business type people.
Right, right. The little bit of research that I did onto it, it sounded really fascinating, man. It sounded like you said, man, it's some kind of like mafioso crew, mostly if not just males. And then it's sort of akin to, like you said, like the mafia or the Freemasons here, more to like ancient like groups that get together, and it's very hard to get in as a member. And it started in Europe, but then migrated over and now is more known as the Afro-Cuban, group or like the Freemasons, like they were mentioning.
Right.
All I know is I don't want no part of it, and I'm happy to be part of no secret fraternity that's trying to take down the world.
Yeah, for everybody that doesn't know, my wife and my wife's side of the family, they're Cuban, and I brought it up to my wife and asked her when we first got this email. I'm like, yeah, are you aware of this? What is this? And she wasn't really aware of it. So it must either be a real secret society that she's just not aware of, or she never saw them because they were always in the shadows.
Yeah, I was watching a Joe Rogan podcast with Joey Diaz on it, and he was talking about this, the Abuqua, and he was saying how they're very tight-lipped. So you really won't get a lot out of them about this. You will see a few videos out here and there, but in terms of like the inner workings, you're really not going to know what's going on with all that. And that like it was to the point where if you had a nickname in the inner circle, they wouldn't even want that nickname getting out of that inner circle. So if you called them by that nickname outside of their organization or their meeting, that you'd probably get your ass kicked.
Violations.
Yeah. Right. I did see a couple of videos and it looked really Africanish because they were having like these like dance things. And it looked really unique and really different stuff like we haven't seen. But we'll leave that secret society alone and let them keep doing their thing over there in Cuba. Jumping on to our next question here. It's also a returning question here from Sergio. Send it October 16, 2018.
Careful on this one, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's an expletive here. October 16, 2018 was this email. And it says, yo, boys, got a fucked up topic for your next podcast. It might be too much for your audience, but it'll definitely make a shocking side to your next show. Later, dudes. And he gives a link here for, something he wanted us to talk about. It's from Gizmodo. And the link here says, E.T. porno will ruin the very notion of sex for you forever. And then it has a stamp of not safe for work. So I definitely didn't click on this while I was at work. But how is you guys feeling as far as pornos? Is it still something, a part of your life? Especially you, Andy, now that you're married. Is this still an aspect of your life to keep it young and exciting? Something you still visit?
I'm one of the firm believers that you shouldn't watch adult movies with your significant other. To me, it's kind of weird, to be honest with you. But real quick, obviously you read the article and then you see a clip of a guy having relations with a female ET, not like an alien, the female ET. And it's kind of fucked up. I don't know why Sergio would send us this.
So random.
It's very random, and I guess it's part of some weird DVD called Fucked Up Friends, and it's like a DVD compilation.
Nice.
And it's the face that the ET has on this clip. It's kind of fucked up and creepy at the same time.
It's the O face.
It's not an O face. I don't know if she's not being satisfied or. And then you just see like this big nipple and the guy that looks kind of weird just nailing her from behind. And it's interesting. Thank you, Sergio.
Thank you for scarring my eyes for life. All right. Well, going on to the next one. Let's see here. Another one from Graciela Aguirre. This is from Saturday, December 22nd, 2018. Here's an article I found that reminds me of an episode you guys did on a guns for teachers, but this is about training kids to use them. Unfortunately, there is no link available.
She was very, she really liked our show where we talk about where the teachers were getting trained to use guns at this local, a community elementary school, if I remember correctly. And the teachers, if they were volunteered who wanted to train, they're willing to train them, the local sheriff. And she gave me her thoughts on it, and then she found this article, but I did tell her there was no link in the article, and she's going to follow up and sent us the link at a later time.
I mean, training kids to use weapons, it seems like really messed up. But I have to say, at a certain age, depending on the age, like at a certain age, if you have a weapon for home defense and this kid is home alone, hypothetically, you're on a date, you have a 13-year-old, you're like, you don't need a babysitter, you're 13, stay by yourself. And then some creepo comes out trying to get inside and he has a weapon, it would be better if he could use it and save his life than not use it. But outside of that situation, training them to use it and in like a classroom setting, that's a gray area for me. I don't know.
Yeah, the episode she's referring to is back episode 72, where we were talking about a Texas school arming their teachers. And I remember it was really good conversation speaking about this. And it's still kind of a polarizing, you know, conversation just because of, you know, there's still school shootings to speak of. And it's very disheartening to hear that there hasn't been more strides into try to calm this and try to take care of this issue, because it is still an ongoing problem in our society.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be great to see what the source who wrote the article, because it's definitely a subject that we want to get back to. Viejita, send me the link and send us the article. And the next episode, when we talk about feedback and articles, we will have some big discussion about it. All right, guys, that's all the time we have for this one. This is a very special episode. It's just too big to, you know, to that's have it all said. In one. edit this shit out. So it was too massive for you guys to handle. So we're going to split it up and we're going to start with the tip slowly on the second episode, guys. So part two will be coming out soon.